Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. Here we have the very opening words and scene in the Gospel of Mark. More people are familiar with the opening of the other Gospel books, Luke and Matthew and John even, which you'll hear in a couple of weeks now, for Christmas. But today, with John the Baptist, we hear Mark's version of the annunciation of the angel to Mary. This is Mark's annunciation, when Jesus is announced. And we may prefer an angel and Mary to a zealous man eating and wearing strange things, but both John and the angel do the exact same thing. They herald, they announce Jesus' coming. In Luke, as the babe in the manger. In Mark, as the one who baptizes with the Spirit. Both readings in Luke and Mark end in a very comforting way, but neither start that way, nor do any Advent or even Christmas readings. They all begin in darkness, as a backdrop, in sadness, in gloom. In Isaiah, which Mark quotes from, as a backdrop for his era, the people had been exiled to a foreign land and felt that God had abandoned them in their suffering, even punishing them. In Mark, fast forward about 600 years, the country was invaded in Jesus' time and occupied under the rule of the Roman army. No people in history welcome invasion, as we well know on the anniversary of the Pearl Harbor invasion today. Very appropriate that Advent readings begin with darkness, with people living in darkness. Because our culture, I'll say, overdoses a bit, feasts maybe, on Christmas, so much, I think that there's probably a lot of people who might find comfort in talking about darkness in the world and in ourselves. We've all heard before that this is the time of the year that the suicide rate skyrockets. And I think it's partly because our culture measures Christmas by the Cratchit family. Anybody else watch It's a Wonderful Life? That one too. A Christmas Carol over the weekend at all? Or yet this season? Anybody? I'm the only one. Wow. I think a lot of people feel that they should experience the Christmas spirit every year. And in Charles Dickens' lovely words, this is him, I have always thought of Christmas time, when it has come round, as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable time, the only time I know of in the long calendar year when men and women seem, by one consent, to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below them as if they were really fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. Very profound words, but also a bit idealistic. When we think that somehow every Christmas that our hearts should open up freely somehow and we should have an experience of the Christmas spirit. I speak from experience. Christmas was a bit of a roller coaster ride in my family because my mother couldn't wait for it and my father couldn't wait for it to be over. Anybody else experience that in your families of origin or even your own family? Mother hates it, mother loves it, dad hates it. And I always had this expectation that Christmas time was the time somehow that my heart should be open up freely and I should have an experience of connection with all fellow human beings. It's a great thing to have, and it happens when it happens, and it's a gift when it happens, but you can't force it to happen by the calendar. Advent calls to those who have such unmet ideals and expectations and hopes. It gives voice to those who are in a place of darkness and sadness. For our world, which isn't quite what it should be, and for even ourselves, as we see that we're not quite what we should be. Isaiah imagines that the world is a wilderness, places of impoverished desert, valleys of the shadow of death, mountain peak careers that we very rarely reach, uneven, unfair ground that trips people up. Isaiah imagines the world to be a wilderness. And into this wilderness came Jesus, baptizing with the Holy Spirit in the very first Advent, his life. Into the deep places of sadness and darkness, Jesus came. Into dry, impoverished places, he came with the waters of life and baptism, bringing down the mountains, bringing down the mighty from their thrones, making the least greatest and the greatest least, leveling uneven ground by going even beyond justice to mercy, Jesus came. And he didn't just come then, for Christians believe that he comes to us through the word, sung, read, spoken, preached, and through the meal, feeding his flock like a shepherd, gathering the lambs, gently leading the old ones, tucking under his arms the young ones. Into our darkness, Jesus comes, bringing the light and comfort of baptism. For you were baptized by the creator of the universe, the king of the cosmos. No matter how dark or empty life may seem, no matter how it may be different than you expected, God promises to see you through it, to bring you comfort and peace and light. We're also given a new future in baptism, a glimpse of a new heaven and a new earth, that second coming, the last day that we've been hearing about every Sunday for the past month, a new future where steadfast love and faithfulness meet, where righteousness and peace kiss one another like a lion and a lamb, where there's no darkness left, only light. That's the Advent hope we have in Christ. It will not always be this way. And sadness and darkness aren't completely done away with in the meantime. But we were baptized by one who knows what darkness is all about, who himself brings light into our darkness. So how do we join in preparing the way in Advent for this one? Simply by echoing John the Baptist in our own way, pointing to the one who brings comfort and hope and light, and inviting them to the meal that we share. Or in the words of D.T. Niles, simply be a beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. For there are many this season who need God's comfort. Amen.